Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of The Junkies. Continuing to update you throughout the show about the disaster that unfolded around 9 p.m. last night. If you're just waking up or you haven't checked the news, a passenger plane from Wichita was inbound to DCA last night. It collided with a Black Hawk military helicopter, went into the Potomac River. It's being called a recovery mission at this point. 30 bodies have been taken out of the Potomac. The biggest air disaster since 2009 in the United States.
Yeah. And the biggest one here in D.C., obviously, since 1982.
Right. Which by that kind of
I believe there were five
survivors in that Air Florida crash, which with the conditions.
There were only five.
Five, but still.
I'll never forget two things.
For anybody to survive that.
9/11, obviously. I'm forgetting about 9/11.
Sure.
Yeah. There are two things. Do we have a guest on? The two things I'll never forget is Lenny Skutnik going in there and trying to save the people. And then the guy, when they had the helicopter drop the ladder in, he kept letting the women go.
Yeah.
And then eventually he's just sunk.
Yeah.
You know, the coldness of the water.
That was a hero.
Right. And this
died
water,
a hero.
The Potomac,
my ass would be up that ladder.
The Potomac River is 35 degrees right now.
Right.
Apparently it was waist high water that the crash occurred in. So, you know, it's very difficult for these rescue divers, the police and firefighter divers, to go in there and, you know, because it's so cold. So they got they can only spend so much time there. So they were in shifts, you know.
I was surprised to hear that. I think at the deepest in that area, it was like 8 feet deep.
Yeah, you would think
like
a lot deeper.
The water's not very deep there, but
right.
I mean, with the temperature of it going in after a collision.
So let's bring in a good friend of mine. I'm not going to give his last name. His name's Mike, but I'm not going to give his last name. And he doesn't want us to tell anybody who he flies for. It's a major airline, but we'll just call him Captain Mike. Good
friend. Just want to pick his brain. See what
pick his brain on everything. He's flown in and out of Reagan many, many times. Mike, you there, buddy?
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Mike, real quick, without selling the airline, how many years have you been flying?
So I've been with the airlines for 32 years, and flying in and out of Reagan is probably one of my first flights ever. Uh-huh. When I first started flying with the airlines.
When's the last time you flew into DCA?
I actually landed there yesterday around 1 p.m.
Wow.
Is it? I have a buddy also that flies, and you guys are so kind of unfazed because you do it all the time and everything's so normal and you're just, you know, comfortable. My buddy says it's like gets paid to drink coffee, largely. Because, you know, it's so automated.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys are there for disasters, you know, to try to avert disaster.
Get people safe.
Have you ever felt, though, that the D.C., because you always hear it's like, you know, it's like kind of a tighter landing relative to everything else. There is so much traffic around it. Do you ever have anxiety flying in there, or are you so used to it?
Pretty much like you said, we're trained so well in flying in and out of those airports. Same like LaGuardia. I would compare Reagan to LaGuardia's airport. And those are my two favorite airplanes to fly in, airports to fly into, because they are very challenging and you have to keep your skills up. But pretty much I always say the hardest part of my job is getting to the airport on time. But before I say anything else, I want to say our hearts and prayers go out to the victims, and we big appreciation for the rescue squad and all the people that are there for this in times when something like this
does happen. Horrifying.
How often do you have to deal with helicopters in this area?
So it's rare. They do point out the traffic to us, and they do tell us. They usually keep them away from our flight path, and we have collision avoidance systems on the aircraft that's called TCAS, and they talk to each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the military airplane helicopters, if they have that or not, but usually, and we're trained on that also, it'll tell us traffic, climb or descend. So we have the airplanes talk to each other.
Yeah, right.
So this, something like this should not happen.
So when you're landing at DCA, Mike, are you using the instruments to land? So in other words, automatic pilot, or are you using your skills? Are you doing it yourself?
Pretty much, if it's visual, good weather conditions, we always use our skills to land.
Okay.
The only time we have to use the instruments and the autopilots to land, if the weather is below landing minimums, which this, is IFR Cat 3 landings, stuff
is,
like that.
This is just very strange to us that, and we've just kind of asked this question throughout the morning, why there was a Black Hawk helicopter flying so close to the runway, you know, the airport. And I understand it's a big military city, and you got a lot of different VIPs flying in and out. And apparently this was just for training for these pilots. But why a helicopter would be flying so close, especially at night?
Yeah, that's probably why the accident happened. So we have no idea, obviously. All we know is the facts and what happened and that there's no survivors. But not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
But we have no idea. But it will eventually come out with the black boxes and the voice recorders on the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to figure out. And ATC's radar systems will see the traffic patterns, and they'll put it all together. And the truth will come out eventually.
Right.
From what you've seen, and I'm sure you've watched the news and you've been locked in trying to figure out, get as much information as you can. I'm asking you to speculate, but like, what was sort of your instinct right away? Are you thinking, oh, something happened with the helicopter there? Like, what jumped out at you that was unusual, if anything?
So at night, and again, I don't know.
Right, I'm just guessing.
Military helicopters. We're probably landing at over 100 miles an hour, probably 130, 140 is the speed that we're coming in at, landing at. And the helicopter is probably not lit up and not with no navigation lights, would be my guess. But I have no idea, because again, I don't know military helicopters. It's probably just a surprise. It's just sometimes when we're flying around, ATC will say there's traffic, meaning another aircraft, and they give us a clock position and we could see it at night. It's easier to see because we have navigation lights, but I don't know if the helicopters have that.
Yeah. After something like this, have you already gotten like an email or a text from your bosses kind of talking about this, or how does that work?
So I'm also a training captain. I train brand new captains and brand new first officers in the aircraft. So last night, pretty much as soon as it happened,
right,
we have a text message group chat, and it was lit up pretty much with the story of it happening and everybody giving their thoughts and prayers. That's the biggest thing that everybody was saying on the chat. Nobody is speculating or knows anything. And the thanks to the first responders.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, we're going to let you go, buddy. Thanks for chiming in, and let us know if you hear anything else. You can send me a text, buddy. Okay.
You got it. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. And again, thoughts and prayers to the families.
Yep.
Yeah. Hang in there, man. Be right, safe, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. You can tell people are just kind of like just broken up, shocked. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just disaster for everyone. It's a disaster of the worst imagination for the families and friends. Mm-hmm. And then it's nightmare fuel for the rest of the world. the rest of the country.
Yeah.
It's just literally nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just think about all the people that are, you know, Reagan is going to be closed until, I can't imagine.
I think they said they're going to open it today at 11.
I know. I just think it's shocking that it's actually going to open today.
Right.
But I know there's so many flights that have to get in and out, and I understand that people got to go places and people pay for these tickets, but it's amazing that the airport's going to be open in 2.5 hours.
Well, we were about to book.
Think about the people that are flying today, and that's all that's going to be in their minds.
We were about to fly next week, and we had actually decided last night before the accident that we would probably just drive. This cements it, though. I don't need to hop on a plane this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need to let a little time pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll get more information on now that the sun's up and you can see everything that's going on.
But
in the river.
Guess it's because I didn't drive by it this morning because it's not in my way. But I guess it's more closer to Audi Field versus where the Air Florida was, which is kind of over here near, you know, where we head home.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. When I woke up and I saw the news, I take GW Parkway on the way to work. I expected that to kind of be shut down because in my head I was thinking,
Air Florida.
Oh, I'm going to see this over here on the left, but it's on the other part of the Potomac.
Yeah, we didn't see anything coming in.
Yeah.
I thought Cakes might have. You used to take the parkway that way.
I take the beat-up parkway. It goes nowhere near the crash site.
Yeah, that would be another exit. That would be like
you take the exit before.
Yeah.
I hop off onto 395 towards downtown.
But I guess if you were driving to MGM after, you would definitely pass
you'd go right by it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm sure there's a bunch of people have seen stuff and driving by, you know, it's just, it's kind of surreal. It's just a terrible situation all the way around.
I couldn't imagine being in it. You know, we've all dealt with loss, but I don't know that we've dealt with sudden loss when Craig passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course.
It's been
Jason's
a couple decades.
His parents died in that plane crash.
Egyptian Air.
Yeah.
The pilot, that was a suicidal
pilot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both parents, my buddy Chris.
Dude, apropos of nothing, but I saw that Tesla is just, they're putting out their driverless cars, and they, like literally, it's one thing to have it like auto drive and you're sitting there, but literally, you know, driverless cars, which we've seen some of these Ubers, but they're having the car, there was a promo video that they tweeted of the car from the factory, right? So just fresh off the factory line, driving to like
the dealership
or like to the ship it was gonna take it to or whatever, like with nobody in the car,
right?
And I have a friend that got into one of those driverless Ubers.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
And any issues with it or was
no that... I'm not doing it in my lifetime. I will never do
no,
it.
No, your friend, they have
no,
they had no issues.
Yeah, they thought it was
all
cool.
Good.
They thought it was cool.
Hmm.
I would never do it.
I like being in control driving.
Yeah, but if you think about, you know, the thousands of flights that are happening right now, if at some point there weren't thousands and thousands of flights and thousands of airports and all that stuff, it started out small and it grew big. So these driverless taxis, it's the beginning of what might be the case, the norm in 50 years.
No, I agree.
50
we'll
years, there might
dead.
Be nobody driving.
I know, but we'll all be dead. Thank God I won't have to deal with it.
Because our grandkids
years,
will.
I'll be 104. I'll be 104 years old.
In 50 years?
In 50 years.
Yeah. Your bones will be. Let's go to Glenn. Says he flew in a Black Hawk from the Pentagon. That's interesting. Glenn, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, I've been listening to you since the 90s, and I never called, but that kind of freaked me out because I might have been in that helicopter once. I've been doing IT work at the Pentagon for 15 years, and these training flights that they do, it's not like they're teaching some noob who doesn't know how to fly. They're doing it to maintain hours and proficiency. So they offered to, you know, they're like a full flight sometimes, so they offered to bring some people from the Pentagon. I got the chance, and we took off from the Pentagon.
Did you like it? Was it cool?
It's pretty cool, man. But I tell you one thing I noticed. It's really loud in there because they got the jet engines. And so when I was listening, like in the 6 o'clock hour, you play the ATC audio.
Yeah.
Really early on, you hear somebody with a big beep in the background. That's the Black Hawk. And I heard it. And right after they said something from the Black Hawk, which I couldn't understand, you heard another pilot say, "Did you guys see that? Or what was that?" And that was it. And then the rest of it was just chatter. But, man, I got a picture of me standing in front of it. And y'all were talking about seeing them helicopters coming in the Pentagon like all the time. Well, it's the same ones. So sure. Sometimes they're all blacked out, but the Army got this one that's all painted Army colors and green. That's when I flew in, and it came into the Pentagon all the time doing training flights up and back.
Yeah,
and
I see those green ones. I see them all the time. A lot as I drive the GW Parkway.
You also see the president ones. Like, I don't know
Marine
if it's
one.
A...
Marine one, yeah.
I don't know if it's the dark green. Vice president, not president, that. Or just their personnel.
No. The Marine ones, that, those are called the white tops. They're bigger, and the top of them are painted white. Those aren't Black Hawks.
Right.
They're saying it was definitely a Black Hawk, and I don't know what they were doing south by Reagan. You know, we took off with the Pentagon, went north, and came back, flew over Roslyn, circled the Pentagon, landed. I guess they're getting back and forth from Belvoir.
Yeah,
but of all the stories y'all mentioned, the one that really makes sense is that he probably did a visual ID on the plane that was the next in line,
the one
that was right behind him, and just maintained his heading right into it.
Yeah.
So, love you, Junks, man. Bad day. Sorry, it's the first time I ever had a call. But
thanks, man.
No, thanks for listening. I appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate the input.
I'm watching Fox 5. I think the local news, they now say they've identified 27 victims from the plane and one from the helicopter recovered.
Yeah. I mean, I assume they're going to get them all, but it's going to take a while.
If you can, imagine some of those bodies are probably charred.
Well,
who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
I just hope it was instantaneous and nobody felt anything. That's the kind of stuff, can you imagine knowing you got hit and then plunging?
Oh, it's terrifying.
No, I mean, I can't even imagine that.
Nobody
could. I hope that's not the case.
That's only going to last 2 seconds.
A few seconds, but
it's terrifying. Two seconds
from only being a few hundred feet in the air. Yeah, you're right.
All right, we'll continue to give updates throughout the show as we get them. They keep streaming in at this point. Jason saw 30 bodies recovered. Sierra Fox from Fox 5 is reporting 27 bodies from the plane have been found, one from the helicopter. We'll continue to give updates on this sad day here in Washington, D.C. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.